And we're talking about, it's, we're going to be going about talking about the idea of going into service, entering service. Was anybody here in the military? Okay. How did that happen?
Signed up.
You signed up? Okay. So you went, did you go to one of these places? And you then, did you pick which branch of the service?
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Already knew.
You already knew. How did you know?
I wanted to drive a truck.
Okay, you wanted to drive a truck. Okay. So, you know, you entered a service. And our son did that, and we drove him up for the first time he went. And the second time he went for a follow-up visit, this was in Lakeland, he took Marianne's car, and he drove up to Lakeland. And while he was gone, you know, time goes by, we're not following it, we get a call. It's a call from the state police. And they say, is this the house of Chester and Marianne Gladkowski? This is officer such and such. And I have your son here. Okay. Immediately, what, you know, thoughts run through your mind?
Panic.
Accident. He says, Dad, I blew up the car. I said, what do you mean you blew up the car? He says, I was driving along and all of a sudden these flames started coming out from underneath the hood and I pulled off the side of the road and got out and the car was then engulfed in flames and it got so hot that the tires melted into the asphalt. So I had to go and pick him up. And, you know, these things can start out very differently. But, you know, most of us didn't go into the service. We entered service, but through a different way, didn't we? We went and got a job, right? Did anybody look for a job in the newspaper? Did anybody ever do that? What's that like?
Useless.
Okay, you did it. How did you know which one to pick?
Who, me or who?
Just anybody.
Oh, I saw something actually on the internet.
Okay.
And then I called them after they were taking applications, and I went and made an application for them.
Okay, so you have all of these jobs, right? Or now you have these websites. You can say, I'm looking for this kind of a job, for this kind of thing, and it comes back and tells you. And you go, it's this big big process. And it's the whole idea of hunting for the job. You know, I've gone through my career where, and I know you're gonna find this really hard to believe, there were people who said, we don't need you anymore. Me, how could they not need me? I'm so brilliant. But there were times I had to go through job hunting. And there are a lot. What are different ways you can find jobs? What are different ways?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth, what?
Yeah,
ask.
Employment agencies,
what?
I'm
sorry?
Go to the place in person.
Okay, go there, say, hey, you need somebody. Yeah, so, you know, there's all these things, but there will come a moment when you're going to say, it's just overwhelming. You know, I just can't find it. I can't find what I'm looking for, what I was made to do. There's got to be a better way. But eventually, hopefully, something happens. An interview, and you either think, I knocked it out of the park, or there's no way. There's just no way. But eventually somebody offers you that, or you start that, and then you are entering service. And what's the first thing you do when you start a job?
Training,
right? They got to tell you how to do whatever it is they want you to do. And you think about that whole process, and here is Joseph. Joseph has been a snot-nosed brother. He was then sold into slavery. He was kidnapped and sold and taken to Egypt. He was then in Potiphar's house, where the wife of Potiphar made this awful accusation. He got then sent into jail and was there for a long time. And through a lot of circumstances that God coordinated, he opened a door. And now he becomes effectively the prime minister of Egypt. And as one person wrote, you know, he went from the outhouse to the penthouse. He went from the depths to the heights. And what did he do? He started. And when he started, he was 30 years old. So think about all that stuff we had talked about his past happened before he hit 30. And now he's 30, and what did he do? What happened when he was 30? He entered into the service. You know, for those of you who entered the military, there is a, you don't just go in there and they say, hey, how you doing? There's an actual ceremony. There's a swearing in. You know, a friend of mine was asked to be a judge. And I went to Lakeland, and there was a ceremony where he entered into the service. And Joseph enters into the service of Pharaoh. And what's the first thing he does as soon as he enters into the service? He travels. He went on a business trip. And where did he go? Throughout all of Egypt. Now, think about this for a minute. You've gone through a long period of time where things haven't worked out, okay? You ever have a period of time like that? I have. And then something happens, a door opens, and then you get this opportunity. And you almost want to sit back and say, phew, it's over, right? Is that what Joseph did? No, he didn't go to a spa. He went out and took the bull by the horns and went and started the job. Nobody told him what to do. He had to figure it out. He knew that there were 7 years were coming where there was going to be nothing but great crops. But he knew after that there were going to be 7 years where the crops weren't going to come in. How do you plan for that? How do you figure that out? Well, he started going through the country. He started looking. He found out information. He didn't sit back. He didn't say, well, somebody will figure it out for me. No, he had to go, and whether God spoke to him or not, we're not told, but he got to work. He got to work. And during the 7 years, there were these 7 years, what happened? There was abundance, and the land produced plentiful. This is like when we moved to our house in Delaware, and Marianne wanted a garden. And the dirt there wasn't really great. And I know nothing about plants, okay? I know less than nothing. But I talked to a friend, and we live in Delaware, is near the mushroom capital of America. And you can buy mushroom soil. That's the soil that it's basically 100% compost. And it's Kennett Square is where the mushroom capital is. And so I said, he told me, buy some mushroom soil. So I got, because I'm cheap, I drove to the train tracks where they were putting in new railroad ties, you know, the big pieces of wood. And I got those and put them in the back of my car and brought, and they're heavy. Let me tell you, they're heavy. And brought them, and I made a raised bed, and then I had this truck of mushroom, I mean a big dump truck full of mushroom soil, right? Let me tell you how stupid I am, okay? This, you know, I've talked about how I jumped off the roof of our house and, you know, things. I wonder about my brain. So, you know, I say, how do we get this out? He says, well, I'm going to back up the, it's a big dump truck. And he's going to lift it up and it's going to come out. So what do? I climb up onto the top of the dirt as this thing's going tipping up, thinking, well, I'm just going to use the shovel and make it break out, right? Well, it did break out in one big boom. And I ran on top of it and stayed on the top of it. But and at the end, I was in the truck. But, you know, but the reason I tell you this story is because the strawberries we got that first year were like the size of your fist. Oh, they were so good and sweet. And they were, and that's what, when I think of abundance, that's what I think of. I think of growing stuff in fresh mushroom dirt. During Hurricane Milton, we lost 2 of Marianne's banana trees. So guess what we're doing? No, we don't have to do that part. The banana trees take care of that on themselves. Marianne came up with the clever idea of making wood chips out of the tree. So I've been helping her making cuts in it, and then she's breaking it apart to make, what is it when you put wood chips over stuff?
Mulch.
She's made banana mulch. We got banana mulch, and the banana trees are going bananas. So anyway, you know, it's plentiful. But what did he do? Did he throw a party? No, Joseph didn't. He collected all of it. And he built cities and places for those 7 years of abundance, and they stored it. You can go to Egypt today and you can find storage. There's cities, that these buildings that are still, you know, left where they stored the grain. They collected it, and they didn't say, well, let's party like 1999. No, they knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. God had told him, so he kept at the task. And you know, so, and think about this. This was smart. He could have done what, you know, some of us would do is, well, we got to centralize everything, right? No, he distributed all the different cities where the people were. So he did that. It was very efficient. But it wasn't just for one season. It was for 7 years. Imagine. Day after day, season after season, 7 years. That's 84 months. That's 2,555 days, over 61,000 hours, and 3.5 million minutes. 7 years. Do you have trouble staying focused for 7 minutes like me? 7 years, he stayed faithful at the task. We don't see him going off on vacations. Nothing wrong with vacations. But during this time, he stayed at the task. And another thing, so we have all of this, and the end result is there's like mountains of grain. They stored up huge quantities like the sand of the sea. It was so much. It's like on their spreadsheets, the numbers just got too big. It was just so much. And you know what he didn't do? He could have, like what I would say, well, you know, he could have said, enough is enough, right? I mean, how much do we really need, right? 4 years, isn't that enough? You know, can't we take a break? But he didn't. He stayed faithful throughout all that time. And you know what I hear from this? He didn't let his past stop him from being faithful. Remember, I talked about his past, right? Imagine if you had that kind of pain. Maybe you have pain. Maybe I know I have. And I see how that can impact my life today. I saw this scene from The Chosen where, I don't know if you've watched it, in season three, Simon's wife gets pregnant and she loses the baby. And they are both angry at God for him. We're doing God's work, aren't we? You know, Simon's out, you know, God, Jesus sends him out two by two. God, aren't you watching out for my wife and my child? And he gets bitter about it. And here's how he expresses it.
Well, I trusted. I trusted that Eden would be okay. Safe while we were gone. I didn't know it, John. But before we all left on our 2x2 mission, we conceived the child. And while we were gone, sorry, brother.
When it happened, she almost died at home with the baby. There was so much damage, the doctor said she might never be able.
Tonight, heaven. Why didn't you tell us?
Because I'm furious, John. I'm so angry. Look, he is who he says he is. I don't believe it. I know it. He's the first and the last. He can do anything. How could he let something
that's not the right way to think about
happen
it.
Happened to Eden! Happened to me! Let's keep going.
You're not exempt, Simon. Remember, he said that in this world, bones will still break. Hearts will still break. But he's making a way for people to access a better kingdom.
He heals total strangers while I gave up everything for him.
But that does not mean that your life will now be perfect. In fact, he said the complete opposite.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Have you ever said that to God? What Peter said, how could God let something like this happen to me? Or how could God let something like this happen to the one I love? And, you know, John is talking with him and says, he never promised us that. That's our assumption, though, isn't it? Our assumption is, I'm serving God. He's going to watch out. He's going to keep the bad people away. He's not going to let me make the wrong kinds of decisions. And what happens is we then get in the middle here. We're here in the present, and we're just, you know, white, you know, so depressed because we look at our past. And the past is unchangeable, remember, right? Our past is unchangeable. If only, how many times have I said that? I should have. Look what they did. Or why did it have to happen? I look backwards at those things. And that changes the way I look at the future. It can. Because I look at the future and says, I won't be able to cope. I'll never. What's the point? And then we play the magical what if game, right? We play out all the scenarios in our head of all the things that could happen. Joseph doesn't walk down this path. He doesn't allow his past to spoil or poison his present and future. And next week, we're going to see how we know this for certain. That's a tease, meaning come back, invite your friends, total strangers. But when things happen, do I allow the past to influence the way I think? I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but about a week and a half ago, it was on a Friday night, I went into our bathroom and I just happened to look up. There's water in our ceiling. How did that happen? Well, maybe somebody took a shower and it sprayed. No, that didn't happen. And it's dripping. So I get a bucket to collect the dripping, and that worked for a while. That is, until the ceiling fell through. You know what this is like? If you don't, I'm happy for you. But the ceiling fell in. And so, it's over a weekend, so who works on weekends, right? So it's okay. So I cleaned it up, and I used my kidneys, used my head, right? How can I make this as painless as possible?
Turn off the water.
No, that's too silly. So I get a tarp. You know what a tarp is, right? So I get a tarp, and I position a ladder, and I put the tarp over it and make the tarp land in the shower. So as the water comes down, it will flow into the shower. Pretty good idea, right? Great idea. Drip, drip, drip. Marion goes to sleep, falls asleep, and in the middle of the night she hears this drip, drip, drip. And she can't go to sleep because, she knows in our heads we know it's okay, right? We're not going to drown from it. It's not going to wash the house away, but it's this drip, drip, drip. So I'm sleeping in a different bedroom because I've got three pillows under my knee and I got to sleep a certain way and stuff like that. So she comes in, she says, I can't take it anymore. I say, okay. So there's no real way to solve the problem until the plumber comes. And the plumbers were great. They showed up first thing Monday morning. They fixed it. And then I said, do you know anybody who fixes ceilings? And they said, no. Oh, wait a minute, there is a guy. His name is Joe. Joe the wallboard guy. So he calls me up. He says, yeah, I can do this. He shows up Thursday. And Thursday and Friday, he repairs it. And life is sort of back to normal, right? He did a great job. And it's back up there. We got to paint it. But, we got to caulk it a little bit. But life is back to normal. Until Friday night. Friday night, I'm in this other bedroom, right? And I hear. And what's the first thing that pops into my head? Water, right? There's a leak. So I go bananas and, I start, turn on the lights, and it's in the closet. I can hear it in the closet. So I open the doors to the closet. I'm looking up there, and with the leg, I can't move really well, and I don't want to move certain ways because I'll scream and yell and fall. So I'm looking. I start taking things out. Where's this water? Where is this? I still hear it. I can't find it because it's got to be a leak, right? Because then that's just what happened. It's got to be a leak. So in the morning, Marianne wakes up, and I say, Marianne, please come here. I can't find it. Can you look in here and find it? She goes in there and finds a clock. With the battery still in it. And she says, words are coming out, I'm so thankful. You're a genius, is what I call it. I said, thank you. She says, how in the world can you hear that? But I said, I did. And because of what had just happened in the past, I was sort of hardwired to think that's what was happening right now. And isn't that what we all do with our past? We let the past drive what we're living now and the assumptions. I've told you the story before about how I had a blood clot in my spine and I was paralyzed from the neck down. And it was awful. The pain was horrific. And after the surgery, I'm in recovery. And then, I eventually went home and I would get these incredibly sharp pains between my shoulder blades. And what's the only thought I can think of? another blood clot. Here we go again. Because they couldn't find the source. They couldn't find the cause. It just exploded. This blood vessel just exploded. So I thought, here we go again. I'm standing before you so you could figure out it really wasn't a blood clot. It was nerve damage. And for years, years, I lived. And when that pain came in between my shoulder blades, and I don't know how to describe it other than it felt like somebody with an ice pick was going into the back between my shoulder blades. My immediate assumption was, here we go again. You see, I let that past dictate how I was living. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights that I had with that, because it would hurt and my brain then just went off on a tangent. You see, God is looking to you and to me to say, yeah, you got a past. We all have a past. But, you know, what about now? How about now? What about changing direction, changing gears, and moving forward? Because the Apostle Paul, can you imagine his past? You know the Apostle Paul, right? What was he doing before he became a Christian? He was killing Christians, right? And having them arrested and thrown in jail. You know, persecution. You heard about persecution and killing them. He meets the risen Christ. He immediately starts sharing Jesus with other people. And, wait for it, he wants to connect with other Christians. Right. Now let me think about this. You were throwing people from our church in jail. You were having them arrested. Why am I supposed to trust you? Don't you think he got those looks? Don't you think he got those questions? We know he did, because when he went to Jerusalem, nobody wanted anything to do with him until Barnabas went and talked to him and brought him in. If the Apostle Paul had let his past, do you think he would have written he's the greatest contributor to the New Testament, the great evangelist of the first century, went throughout. He didn't allow that to stop him. There's another scene in The Chosen where we have Mary from Magdala talking to Matthew. And in The Chosen, Matthew is a tax collector who has come to faith. And they are having a conversation.
I know you have felt unworthy, Matthew. I know you felt unworthy. But it's time to add a new accessory to your clothes. Or rather, an old one.
Time to add a new accessory. It's time to move forward in faith. I don't know what that means for you, what God has for you, but I know he has something for you, because Christ came to earth. He died for you. He paid for all of your sin, past, present, and future, once and for all. And he made you a new creature. And being a new creature doesn't mean we sit around. Being a new creature means we are active in his service, helping people, sharing what we have, sharing the good news with people. It's time. Thanksgiving is coming later this month. My favorite holiday of the year. I mean, you get to have a nice, great meal with people and watch football. What could be better? But there's a hymn that talks about it. It goes, come labor on. Who dare stands idle on the harvest plain, while all around us waves the golden grain? And to each servant does the master say, go work today. Come labor on, claim the high calling angels cannot share. Too young and old, the gospel gladness bear. Redeem the time, the hours too swiftly fly, the night draws nigh. It's time for us to come labor on for our master. And if we claim him, the first part of that is that he's our Lord, right? He gets to call the shots. And it's for his glory and it's for our good. Come, let us labor on. Come, it's time now to get busy, to do the Lord's work. It's time now to move forward in faith. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have called us into your service, and we want to desperately find how to serve you. Thank you that you don't hide it. It's going to be right in front of us. Thank you that you have a good story to tell through us. In Jesus' name, amen.